You're listening to Disturbing the Priest with Brandon Baddick.
We're really happy that you know the band and like the band. So thank you very much.
No problem, man. Yeah, I'm from Boston. So you wouldn't think. But that's what's cool with like Spotify and streaming now.
Yeah,
you know,
because
it's like I feel like I discover so many other thrash metal bands out of America that aren't in America. I mean, and it's cool because there's so many, like, you guys are so original. You have so many cool elements to your music. It's very like avant-garde. There's like some jazzy elements. It's so cool, man. I definitely have a few questions about some of the music.
I'm really happy that you like the band. So we try to do something different, or at least try to use the influences here that we can find. And of course, we have a lot of influences in your music. For example, we love Megadeth, we love Metallica, and all the stuff that came from United States. So we try to do our way to play that kind of music.
Cool. Yeah. I'm curious, what was your like first exposure to thrash metal?
Actually, here in Chile, we have a lot of really heavy bands. Of course, they're always like underground bands. But we have, for example, Pentagram is from Chile. I know that there's only at least two or three Pentagram bands, but the one from Chile is also known in Europe. So we have like really heavy bands and thrash metal bands. It started, I think, working letters and sending letters to the bands that we like here in Chile, and they start to answer our questions, and that's the way that everything started here.
Cool, interesting. How'd Dorso form?
The band started in the school.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Pera Rodrigo Cuadra, the main. With Yamal started in school, so I started to play in Dorso in 1992. So that was the first album that I played in. But at the very beginning, they started like playing songs from Merciful Fate, even okay. Ratch. They tried to mix things together, and their first album that they recorded and that it was out. So you can buy an album. It was in 1989, I think. It's
The debut.
Yeah.
So what year were you involved?
1992. I started playing in El Espanto Surge La Tumba, the one with the goat.
Oh yeah. So yeah, you joined right after Romance, then.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. What was it like going into the band? Because it was so different, you know. It was very avant-garde, very psychedelic in a sense.
Okay, I used to play more like in a hardcore band. It was my band was called SNF, and we played with, and I really liked Dorso at the time. I was really a fan. So when we the band split for a small amount of time, because one of the guitar player needs to take care of his father at the time. So Rodrigo asked me if I can play, and we found a new drummer and did El Espanto. But if you look at the album is very different, but some of the chords, for example, and the way that the music is played is not so different from that the one that you hear in Romance, for example. We use like the same kind of ideas, but of course, Pera at that time was listening to a lot of more like death metal, so that was the main thing that changed at that time.
Cool. Now, the 1993 release, I believe, translates, it is from the Tomb Horror Rises.
Exactly.
Yeah, so, exactly. So this was the first album you started working on.
Yeah. And at that time we listened a lot of to bands like Pungent Stench or Impetigo. I don't know if you know them, but I'm pretty sure that you do.
What band?
Impetigo. Did you know that one? I don't know the name in English.
Yeah. I might. I'll have to look.
You need to listen to them. They are great. So
I'll check them out.
Yeah, also Panji and the Stench and a lot of like death metal bands that were really heavy, but at the same time they use kind of groove metal, so you can hear the rhythm, but yeah. the lyrics are, and the voices are really brutal. So we try to follow that path at the time.
Interesting. So what was the full writing recording process of that record? How do you recall it?
Okay, at the time, the band was kind of new because a new guitar player, a new drummer, and we started to rehearse in at the drummer's house, and the ideas were really different because we went the for example, me and the drummer came from different bands, so we kind of bring different ideas. So we start to rehearse and I think in the first rehearsal, maybe the second one, we have like two or three songs, and we started to get along very well in musical in terms of the music that was resulting at the time, and so everything's were fine. And then we start to record almost immediately. We have like 8 songs, and in the studio we create some other things that also were part of the record.
Cool. How do you get signed to Inferno Records for this release?
There's a friend of us he's the one that also started the music scene here in Chile. He's the one that created Pentagram and also Criminal. He's right now working with Lockup, with Brujeria, and he's playing with them. So he created that Inferno Records, that company.
Interesting.
And so we started working with him, and he also did our second record with this new lineup. So
cool.
He's a really good friend. So and at the studio we have it was like a big party. Everybody was having fun and drinking and recording the record. It was really interesting.
That's amazing. How long did it take to write?
Only a few months. I think we have a lot of ideas. So and everything is well. We have a lot of time because we were younger at the time. Not that many responsibilities or families or anything that can.
Yes.
Yeah. But that's easier to do at that time. So we almost play all day. So we try to.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
What did he give you in terms of like studio time and a budget?
Okay, the person in charge of the studio at the time was also a friend, so it wasn't too expensive. So we have like it was the opportunity to record to make a record because at the time it's also was also very expensive, but we went there really well prepared, like we knew the songs very well, so we tried to use the time in the best way possible.
Yeah. What do you get, like 2 days or something?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Put everything. Put and play everything there. Yeah, right away.
Yeah, yeah. It's crazy, man, because, like, I've talked to a few other, like, kind of, I guess, thrash metal bands, and a lot of those first records, you know, especially, like, British New Wave, like, there's bands that get 24 hours.
Exactly.
To record their record.
You need to go there and just record the whole day and do the, I don't know, all the songs in just one take and try to be good at it.
Yes. It must be way nicer now for you. Do you have like a home setup at all? Do you use Pro Tools or?
Yeah, exactly. Right now it's easier for us because we have, I think for everybody, it's easier to record. You can also, for example, make mistakes and then re-record again or put layers or whatever. But at the time we need to play directly without, you know, almost a few overdubs and that's it. So it was really difficult. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was fun too.
Yeah, I bet, man. I bet.
Yeah, because the energy is different. When you record with the band, for example, everybody at their home on it's different. Then the energy is completely different. If you go there like a punk band and just record with the drums, with everybody there and the party and everything, it works better, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Now back to the album we were discussing. Why is there such an emphasis on gore with the band? There's so many themes of gore.
I think that the leader of the band, Rodrigo, is a fan. Almost, we are also fans. We love horror movies and gore and everything. We started to, I think that we spent a lot of weekends with him putting movies. Some of them really good and some of them really bad, but it was kind of, it was also part of the writing process.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. I totally believe it because there's so many, it's almost like a lot of 80s horror movie elements.
Also,
you know,
aliens.
Yeah.
Flying sources and creators.
Yeah. Yeah. The album cover, it looks like an alien, but when you look closer, it is much more gruesome.
Yeah.
How did that cover even come to be? Did the band make it? Do you have a guy just like what happened?
You mean the one with the goat?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. We bought the goat in the supermarket at the time. You can find here in Chile that type of things.
Wow.
Yeah. So we bought it and bring it to Rodrigo's house. Her mother is really religious and so she was kind of, you are worshiping Satan, and she was really mad at us. So we put the goat and put some stuff there too. I think that we use a stick and also a part of a fabric, and that's it. And we took pictures with our hands there with a knife.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's like the cover that was maybe go like, what the fuck is this band? You know, because I've never seen anything like that. It's definitely unique, and it's cool. It definitely like when like because I definitely like translated some of the lyrics and stuff, and I'm like, okay, that tracks. You know.
Yes. Yes. I think that creator is kind of a classic here in Chile because everybody loves that creator and also that record. I think that the people that likes her band like is their favorite record because it was really different with what we've been doing at the time.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's such a cool record. I can see how it's got this cult status.
Yeah,
it.
It's fun. It's really it's fun. It's groovy. It's also brutal at sometimes. So I think it's a good record.
Yeah, yeah. It was so funny when I listened to the band's Unplugged album, the acoustic record, how well some of those songs translated.
Oh, did you like that one too? Oh, I'm impressed that you know all the records. So thank you.
No problem. No problem.
Well, that one was really an experiment for us because it was like a festival when all the bands need to play unplugged. Okay. And we were at last time we were called, would you like to do this? And we say, okay, let's try it. So we kind of, okay, how can we play this music unplugged? It was really a challenge for us. So we kind of reorganized the music and tried to put some of Rodrigo's more like progressive influences there. And we tried to do a good show. And at the time, all the people that went there really liked it because it was, nobody expected that type of music, right?
Yeah.
Everybody was expecting that we played on kind of the same thing with an acoustic guitar, and we did something I think special. Of course, it's not perfect, but at least it's different. It's interesting to hear, I think.
Yeah, it translates so well. Now, what made you want to decide to like actually record it and put it out as a live album?
Because the okay, our sound engineer recorded a session, and it was, and we kind of enjoy it. It's of course, it's not perfect. You can hear mistakes. You can hear everything there, but it's fun. And we said, okay, this is really nice. I think that people would like that likes our band would really like to hear this. So that's the reason that we put it as an album.
Cool. Yeah.
It's one of the albums that I really like. Of course, the sound is not perfect, but it's interesting and fun to hear, I think.
Yeah, there's so many, the band has so many cool sounds. I feel like there's yeah, but that's what's so appealing to me, how the vast spectrum of sound in this band, because I was going into it thinking it would just be like a very traditional thrash metal band. Here in the States, we really don't have anything like that.
Really?
It's all very traditional. And then when it isn't, it's kind of just its own thing. But it's so cool. And you guys kind of, as the albums carry on, I feel like Dorsa goes into like a more progressive sound, especially since that first album.
Definitely, because for example, Jamal, the other guitar player, and also Rodrigo, they really like progressive music. They love Genesis. Of course, now I'm a fan too, because at the very beginning I said, no, I don't want to hear that. But later, when you start to hear the music and how it applies or kind of mix with the other music that we like, the thrash metal, black metal, or anything. So the mix is interesting, and we always try to challenge ourselves in and try to do better music, or at least more interesting. So kind of keep the good feeling of making music, right?
To do
something that you like and that anybody can like. So that's it. We're not millionaires playing. We just love to play. So that's it.
Well, you definitely achieved that. Every album is so unique in its own sense, I feel. Like, it's almost like every album could be from a different band sometimes.
Some people think that way about us. And also, for us, it's like a challenge. We never know what is going to... For example, with the lyrics, Rodrigo wrote the lyrics. Nobody knows what he's about to sing, and then he appears with the lyrics, and it's kind of really fun. For example, in one album we did a and we put a lot of effort in composing and did that. One song is like 12 minutes or maybe more, and then he bring a really stupid lyric and crazy lyric in the middle, so it was you destroyed the song, man. But
what song are you referring to?
It's the one, and I think it's called Descensos en Chile. It's the one that it's about flying saucers and a girl that fell in love with an alien. So
that's so said, funny.
Is that really the lyrics that we're going to say? Yeah. This. Okay.
So I guess he pulls from some sci-fi elements too, because even the live album. You know, I've seen the two versions of it where it's like the drawing, like in from kindergarten, it looks like. And then the I guess, published version where it's like the alien planets, I guess. I don't know what I'm looking at. The Lovecraftian deities. Is that a big thing for him? Like aliens, sci-fi,
definitely,
like Lovecraft?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. For all of us, and especially Rodrigo, yes. So yeah. I'm impressed that you know all the records and you like all the records. So thank you, man. It's really nice to talk to you.
Well, it's really awesome to hear, man, because I'm a big fan, and I'm glad to like have you on an episode of this. I've had like other bands too. Like I have had David Ellefson and stuff.
I saw that one, yeah.
Yeah, but what's cool about like Spotify and streaming is that it's no more tape trading or what your record store has or whatever. It's all about, you know, your own. It's kind of just where the algorithm guides you, I guess, which could be good and bad, you know. But you know, I've I discovered this thrash metal band from Pakistan, you know.
Amazing.
Just from kind of going down a rabbit hole of like, I like this band. Oh, it's suggesting this guy. This one looks interesting, and just keep doing that. I feel like, and do you feel streaming has had like a big influence, like a big impact on the band?
Yes, because I think that for every band and for every musician, streaming is changing the rules or the way that we know music and we approach music. So I think for everybody for example, the opportunity to talk to you is really interesting, and is great, because with tape trading and everything, it's always different. You need to know somebody, to write to one band and to do something. But with the streaming, you can find bands from anywhere. And here in Chile, we have really good bands. In if you like thrash metal, if you like dark bands, maybe black metal, we have a lot of stuff here. We have really crazy people and great musicians.
Are there any names off the top of your head?
Yeah. For example, you need to hear Kytron. This one that's called Kytron. I can send you if you want.
Please, yeah.
Yeah, we have also, for example, this record, this one. Can you see it? Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Oh wow, that's awesome.
Al Hosred.
Nice.
This is a mix from two bands. This is Dorso and also.
Oh wow.
There's another band that is. So we made a record with one guitar player and a drummer from Automata, and I also play guitar and Peter sings and plays. This record is really cool. So I can send you anything. And a lot of bands, for example, Melik Taus. There's a lot of bands, man, here. So I think that you will love them. We are not the best by any means. There's a lot of really good bands here.
Well, I'm looking forward to checking some of them out. When was that record put out?
This one is kind of, we did it last year, I think.
Oh, wow.
I can send it to you if you like.
Yeah, man. I'd love to. Yeah, totally. Because I don't think it's on anything digitally.
Yeah, there's also a singer called Ignacia Fernandez here. It's a girl that is also a model, but she thinks great, like girls and everything. Her voice is amazing. So there's a lot of interesting musicians here.
That's awesome. Are you, was that like the first real collaboration the band has done?
I think this one is the second, because we did a record also with Pentagram. We're friends from Pentagram, the Anton Reisnegger, the guy that I told you that also plays in with Brujeria and with Lockup.
Yeah. I know the only Pentagram I know is the Bobby Liebling doom metal Maryland. I'm not sure if you're familiar.
Yeah, sure. You need to hear the one from Chile too, because the one from Chile is really, really, really heavy and really dark. And it's a nice, the record, they have like, I think, three records right now. The first one that was recorded at the time of, I don't remember exactly, but I think it's 1987 or maybe that. And then that demo was really famous here in Chile and also in some places in Europe. And right now they also record two more albums, I think. So you need to Pentagram Chile. That one is really nice. This is a really nice band.
Yeah, man. After all this, I'll message you. We'll talk. We'll definitely, because I'd love to listen to more of these bands. Because it seems like the scene where you're coming from is so rich of like just good music.
If you want to interview any musician, I can put you in contact with them, because they would be really happy to talk to you too.
That'd be great, man. We definitely have a lot of talking to do after that. Very exciting, and I cannot wait to check some of these bands out. Now, I have some more questions. Disco Blood, 98. Mm-hmm. It came out the year I was born. Great album, man. I like it's so funny, because like it looked like that was one of the more popular albums from the band.
Yeah.
And it came out close to 2000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The reason is that for that album we have a producer. The person that also records our first album produces the album, and he was really involved with the process. He hired also a sound engineer, and also we have a label at the time. So we put a lot of effort and we rehearse a lot for the album. So this is one of my favorites, I think, because it's also like, it was recorded like recorded like old school. We play with the drums there, with everybody there. So.
Oh, that's awesome.
It also has the same spirit. Of the first albums, I think.
Yeah, it's got a lot of groove to it.
Yeah, I
feel too, which is great. How do you recall the making of this record, like the recording process and the studio time?
It was more professional in terms of the producer was really tough with us. Like, you need to rehearse it again and do it again, so it kind of needs to be perfect. So it was more challenging for in one thing, but it was fun because we're all friends, and I appreciate their.
You can hear it too. Like, everything's so tight. Yeah. So that's funny you bring that up, because it's like, I remember first time I heard it, and it's like, damn, this is a tight band. This is like Dream Theater-esque, you know, everyone's just so, and that's funny. You guys were all playing at the same time too.
We did a lot of, we put a lot of effort in that record. So
have you done anything like that since, where like the whole band, it's a very traditional kind of recording?
I think until Disco Blood, we used that way of recording. Then we started to work more in at home studios and with the different, because the technology sometimes will help you, but at the same time you lose some the spirit of doing things, like with everybody in there, like hearing the other guy on like a real band, right?
Yeah, I feel like you're right. And bands today have it so, they're so lucky with how they have it, where they can just boot up their computer and they can take as many months as they want, you know, to piece together an album.
Of course, it ends up sounding better, I think. It's the quality is better, but at the same time, it's we try to keep that spirit, that energy, that is to that you can feel the records, like everybody is there putting their effort all together.
Like a band. Very, very cool, man. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, the newest single is the Hit the Lights cover, right? What made you want to cover Metallica?
Okay, we are working on a cover record. We're going to do a lot of covers of some of our favorite bands. Of course, I love Metallica, but I saw your program too, and I saw that you interviewed also Chris Paul, and he's one of my heroes. He's one of my favorite guitar players.
Me too, man.
Yeah, he's amazing. So we started to, okay, let's find your favorite songs from, and we start to do, for example, Hit the Lights was the first one. We said, okay, are we capable? Is this going to be any good? Okay, let's try it. And we recorded and started to like the results and try to do it. Not exactly the same thing as Metallica, because we don't want to copy them. We of course we love them, we respect them. We try to do our thing with their music. So it's not exactly the same. So
it's definitely its own thing. You definitely give it its own direction, which is cool. Because there's so many covers that are just the identical, you know.
Yeah.
So might as well just listen to the Metallica version at that point.
Exactly. So we don't want to do that. Of course, it's always better to hear the Metallica version, right? If you're going to play exactly the same, and it's not that easy to play exact way that they do, because they're great playing. So we try to keep the same idea, the same energy of the song. We love that song. When we first hear that song, I think everybody kind of feel like the energy of the song, right? It's really raw. It's really fast. So we try to recreate that and put a little bit of our style there.
Now, in terms of, I'm not trying to spoil any of the other covers, but are you pulling from a lot of like 80s thrash metal, British new wave? Oh yeah.
Yeah, we're going to in that direction, I think.
Oh so, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. We'll put some
exciting
different things. Maybe Genesis too, but we also will record some. We would like to do some black metal bands too. So we try to do a mix.
That'd be very interesting and very intriguing. That'd be
as
awesome.
As soon as I have it, I send it to you.
Please do. It seems like the American thrash metal scene was like a big influence to you.
Yeah, here definitely, because you have great bands and especially Anthrax, Slayer, I don't know, all those bands, and later with Cannibal Corpse, Anthrax, I don't know, Nuclear Assault, you have great bands. So, of course, they were a big influence in everybody and anybody that likes heavy music or thrash metal.
Definitely, definitely. And I hear that so many times, like the Bay Area where all those bands came up, like just in California alone in this one little spot, you know, and how it rippled throughout the world. It was kind of like almost like the birthplace of thrash metal.
Yeah,
definitely. Almost. Yeah. And it's so cool how it's influenced so many people around the world.
So for following your same idea, in Chile, there was a special place that, where you can find those records, okay? And it's in Providencia, near my house now. So everybody went there and kind of changed records and tapes. And it was like that started to transform into a big movement. Everybody went there, and there's a lot of people that like thrash and heavy music. So
that's great.
Most of them are still playing. So they have new records. They're still working on music. So it's amazing.
Have you ever played the States?
No, never. That's our dream. We would love to go there, and also Europe. Maybe that would be our dream. We always play here in Chile. I think that we played in almost every city here. But I think one of the things is also the language, because most of our music is in Spanish. So it's good, but it's also not everybody understands what we are saying. So
I guess when it comes to that, you know, very casual listener, for even just thrash metal alone.
Exactly.
But it's like, you know, and I don't, I'm still learning English, you know, let's be honest.
excuse me if I made mistakes too. I'm learning, but I was really happy to talk to you.
Yeah, man. But I feel the instrumentals, you know, and even the vocals, you know, I feel like it's just all, it's so enjoyable to listen to, because it's just how it's arranged, and it's so original. Like, it's just so unique. But unfortunately, I think that is true with American audiences, where they want, you know, something they can shout with.
Yeah. I think it's every place is the same, but it's good with all those streaming things that you can hear music from Japan, from wherever, from Peru, from United States, from Europe, and you can find new bands to hear and to enjoy. So
100%, man. You've been playing for a while. I'm curious, how much do you feel your creative process has evolved over time, from when you first started to now?
A lot, because I'm kind of a self-taught guitar player. I learn just hearing records and trying to be better. But right now I'm studying. When all the COVID thing and all the pandemic stuff started, I started to take guitar lessons with a very good jazz player here in Chile. That's called Jorge Diaz. He's a great guitar player. So I started to learn new things and to be more professional, to have a better understanding of what I'm doing with the guitar, and try to put that in our music. So I love music. So I'm always trying to evolve and to hear new things and to learn new things. So
I wish more guitarists did that. Now, are we ever going to get the official Dorso Jazz album?
Maybe, yes. always like a gore and brutal jazz, but it sounds interesting. You can hear some in our new record, the one that we are working right now, because we're working in two records, the one with the covers and another one that is very, is a lot of improvisation, a lot of crazy stuff going. So
cool.
You will hear some jazz there, but also with a brutal point of view, with a different approach. So
that's very exciting, man.
Yeah. I hope that you like it.
I can't wait to hear it. And from listening to the rest of your stuff, it's definitely probably going to be, you know, stand out, be original, like jazz, but with a little like brutalness to it.
Yeah.
Very cool. There's like nothing really like that. What are we looking at for like a roadmap for these? Is the covers going to release first and then the new record?
I think that we're about to put up a few songs for the new record, because the part of the record is almost finished. So we want to put some, for example, with Metallica, we did the same thing. We put this is the idea of what the record is going to sound. So we're going to do the same with the new record, with the other one, with the other one. So it's kind of, in the next few months, you will have some music, new music to hear.
Very, very exciting. Now, as we wrap up here, what's the best way for people to stay in touch and stay updated with everything Dorso?
I think Instagram and also Facebook right now. But of course, I think that's the easy way, because we put up everything there. We're going to play with there's a big festival, metal festival here in Chile, then on April. It's called the Metal Fest here. And we'll have black metal bands from Europe, also thrash metal bands. So it's going to be huge. So we're going to play there too.
Awesome.
So we are really excited to play there. And also we are working in our records. So as soon as I have it, I'll send it to you. But the best way to keep in touch with Dorso is following Facebook and also Instagram.
Right. Awesome. You were saying you appreciate having me inviting you on, but I really, especially with the miles between us, I really appreciate you doing this, man. And it was so cool talking to you. Thank you so much.
You're really nice, and thanks to you, man. I'm really excited because you interviewed some of my heroes. So, and I also liked your program, the way that you approach musicians, the way that you, for example, you took the time to hear all our music and to understand our music. So that's awesome. So thank you very much.
It's part of my job. I appreciate you seeing that. I try to take it as seriously as possible, because some of these bands are just, you know, you really have to look at their discography and really just get the full picture of it. And the full picture for Dorso is quite big, quite extensive.
Not everybody does that. So I appreciate that you took the time to understand what we are doing. So thank you very, very much.
Of course. And thank you so much for being on. My name is Brandon Baddock, and this is Disturbing the Priest.